Today, since it is Children and Youth Sunday, I thought that it might be fun to share some silly pictures from when I was small. I have always been a lot, as you can see in this next picture. So this is me, about five, with two tutus, one on the head, one on the place where tutus normally go. If you want to go to the next one. Oh, there should be other pictures there. No? Ah, there we go. Okay. here is me, one of the happiest days of my life, when my mother had made me a fantastic princess costume. Want to go to the next one? Should be. Yes, there we go. And I was always very committed to whatever role or job I was given. This was me in fourth grade when I was a beat in the vegetable chorus. I did not know what a beat was until I was assigned this role. I had one line, "My heart, it beats for you." This is cheerleader Julia, and this is where we really start to get to the Julia who I am today. I was so passionately obsessed with cheerleading that I used to go to the library and find books about cheerleading and read all of them. So I know way too many random facts about the history of cheerleading if you're ever interested. I also practiced so much that I got a soft tissue injury in my foot just from going like this for so long. And I think we have one more picture. This is me on my 15th birthday when I received a guitar, and it was, as you can see, one of the best moments of my entire existence. So I found out a couple of years ago that there is this great new pop culture term that I think encompasses the entirety of who I am as a person, if you want to show that definition now. Extra, over the top, excessive, dramatic behavior, way too much. So this is a great term that people use now. I have it from Urban Dictionary, which is a fantastic site if you ever don't know what your young people are talking about. Google the word and Urban Dictionary will tell you what it means. And this is something that we can say about anyone who's just a little too enthusiastic, is a little bit too committed to the theme, is a little Lucy Friedle's voice waving her hand in the back. And this is something that I think not only applies to me, but is really the way that we talk about our young people. Kids, maybe not as much. Kids, we tend to think it's cute, mostly. You know, back when it was the day of me with a tutu on my head, that was pretty much okay because I was a kid and that's what kids do. But as I got older, it started to be, you're extra. You need to calm down. You're gonna grow out of this. You're overreacting. You're too emotional. You're too passionate about this. Why don't you just calm down? You're too extra. The problem of extraness existed in the Bible too, although there wasn't necessarily that word for it. If you want to switch to our next picture. The story that we looked at today includes a woman who comes to Jesus and pours perfume onto his feet and then wipes the perfume away with her hair. Do we have the picture? Maybe? Technology, guys, it's so complicated. Okay, well, that's all right. Oh, this is good too. So in the story, it says that the perfume is worth 300 denarii, which is about a denarii is about a day's wages for someone. So 300, that's almost a year's wages for someone. And I've read this story a lot of times, and that has always just been like, oh, that's a lot. But I never really thought about exactly how expensive that is. So I did a little research, and I found that the average person in America, not household, but one person, brings in about $30,000 a year on average. A bottle of Chanel No. 5, perhaps the most iconic perfume in history, is about $80 a bottle. This means that for $30,000, an average year's wages, you could get 375 bottles of Chanel No. 5. Can you imagine? I mean, if she had Chanel No. 5, she'd need like one of those little red wagons to get this all in there. And then going one by one, dumping it out on the floor, takes the next one, dumps it out. Can you imagine watching that? The waste that would be going on, how your head would start to hurt from how smelly it was. Even if someone puts on just a squirt too much of perfume, you can tell. 375 bottles of Chanel No. 5. With this in mind, Judas's response seems completely reasonable. He says, "Why wasn't this saved? Why didn't we sell this perfume and give the money to the poor?" Of course, in this story, John tells us what Judas's motive is. He wants to steal the money. But still, if we didn't know that, this would seem like a holy, pious, responsible response. There's nothing in what the woman is doing that should logically make us think, oh, that's an act of Christian obedience. Instead, it seems wasteful, and it seems like she's intentionally ignoring the poor. What a waste this is! 375 bottles of Chanel No. 5. Jesus should agree that this is a waste of resources. Doesn't it feel like that's what he should say? But instead, he honors Mary's extra behavior. He defends her. He says, "Leave her alone." In a different account of this story occurs in, I believe, all four Gospels, and in a different story, he calls it a beautiful thing that she's done. This waste, this huge amount of financial resources gone in a couple of minutes, he calls a beautiful thing. Beyond that, the verb that's used when it says that she wipes his feet with her hair is the same verb that will be used in the next chapter when Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Not only does he approve of what she's doing, but he then models it. He takes it up the next time, in the next chapter, and does the same extravagant, crazy thing for his disciples. The extraness of this woman is the exact same kind of extra that Jesus is. This is self-giving, inappropriate, extravagant, and messy, and uncontrollable love. Uncontrollable acts of devotion that don't make any sense. In the passage, we learn that not only is this something that's beautiful for its extravagance, but that Mary is actually displaying that she gets what's going on a different level than the other people in the story do. She is preparing Jesus for burial. While everyone else is saying, "Why are you doing this? Why didn't you give money to the poor?" she's saying, "This is the only way we can respond." Julia Walker the other day shared with me a beautiful poem that one of her friends, Kenzie, wrote, that she wrote the day after last year's election. And one of the lines in it was, "They say we're overreacting, but we're just reacting." I think that Mary might say the same thing. You say I'm just being dramatic, that I'm wasting my gifts, but don't you get what's going on? Jesus is going to die. Who knows how much longer we have with him? How can we not give him everything we have when we just have a little while left with him? I'm not overreacting. I'm just reacting. As I think about this, I wonder what we might be missing when we assume that our teenagers and our children are just overreacting when they share their gifts and their passion. What insights are we losing when we shrug off their behavior as extra? I firmly believe, and I have experienced, that our youth are engaged, passionate, and creative, and we desperately need them. We need their passion and their insights and everything that they're understanding that we aren't. Last year, at the end of 2016, I found an article that shared what Teen Vogue, the fashion magazine, I have a picture of that if you want to go to it. So one. There we go. This fashion magazine that I know I used to read when I was younger. And recently, they've started including more political articles. And in 2016, these are their top five most read articles. Ready for this? Number one, the most read article in 2016, Donald Trump is gaslighting America. Number two, how to apply glitter nail polish the right way. Three, Netflix arrivals, October 2016, see the full list. Four, Mike Pence's record on reproductive and LGBTQ rights is seriously concerning. Five, dark marks and acne scars, your complete guide. When I read this, I started tearing up because this reminded me of the amazing youth that I work with. And especially it made me think of Julia Walker, who is just as likely to come in telling me about a new eyeshadow palette that was released and showing me the swatches on her hand as she is to tell me about some injustice in her school or in her community that she wants to fight against. And she's not the only one. All of our youth are incredible. If you want to show the next, I just included a couple pictures here of our youth. Evan can go anywhere and he can find bugs that I did not even know existed. Honestly, sometimes I wish that I would have stayed ignorant, but it is incredible. He can go anywhere. We were on the retreat for 5 minutes and he comes out with a grasshopper this big. Lucy is inquisitive. And she asked questions about faith that challenge me, and I'm a biblical studies major in my senior year. She's also emotionally intelligent enough to know that when Evan has one of these bugs, she should come ahead and say, "Anyone afraid of bugs, look away," which I appreciate. I found out this week that Madeline has incredible artistic skills. She can watercolor like no one's business. Check out her work. Isaac knows more about Star Wars and Marvel and DC than anyone that I've ever met. And I'm embarrassed by how little I still understand. I could go on for a whole 20 minutes about all the ways that our youth and our children are gifted. And if you want to talk about it, find me downstairs and I will. Our young people have incredible gifts and unbridled passion to share with us. And we need to let them without devaluing what their contributions are. I've been thinking about this phrase, you'll grow out of it. And you know what? They probably will. They probably will grow out of it. And it's exactly because of that that we need to listen. Already, as a 21-year-old, I'm a different person than I was as that 15-year-old who opened up a guitar and made a face like I had, you know, just seen eternity and it was great. We grow up and we need the passion of our youth, all of their too muchness, all of their extraness, to keep us informed about what's really going on. They see far more than we think that they do, and they perceive it and they know how to change it. After Mary anoints Jesus, the passage says that the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And I wonder, what would it be like if we let the fragrance of our young people's gifts fill our church? And you know, just like it was with 375 bottles of Chanel No. 5, it might be overwhelming, but it will be beautiful. I met with the experience every single time I work with our young people of having their gifts, the fragrance of their gifts, fill our space. I am always aware of what a complete privilege it is to be able to work with them. And I know that when they share their gifts with me, when they tell me about their faith and their experiences, that I'm on holy ground. I hope that during our service today, you already have and will start to experience the same thing. Just like Mary poured out her expensive perfume on Jesus' feet, our young people are pouring out their gifts for God. In a few minutes, you'll actually have an opportunity to hear from two of our boys, Evan and Isaac, who went on a mission trip this summer and poured out their gifts and poured out their experiences. And my hope is that as you listen to them, you will value what their voices are saying and that you will know that when they are passionate and when they are excited, that that is a true gift of God
that Jesus loves. Jesus loves and honors the passion of our young people. Will we? Isaac and Evan, if you want to come on up. Okay, you guys want to come up here? Who wants to go first?
Yeah, we went to Chattanooga over the summer and planted flowers at this place that they had some flowers and stuff, but they were all very dead and horrible looking. So we just fixed that. And they gave me free Mountain Dew, so that was nice.
What is your favorite memory?
Just getting all the stuff at Home Depot, that was pretty fun.
Hi. So, yes, we went to, this place, and yes, all the plants were very dead-looking. So we went and we bought new, plants, and we dug up the old plants and we put in the new plants. So, my favorite memory of that place was probably just hanging out with these guys and just playing cards and, you know, having a good old time.